The Lord spoke to me in the snow this morning. And I know snow can be a pain, it can be aggravating. But he just spoke some simple words to me about the snow. And in the natural, God gives us the snow for several reasons. But one of the reasons is protection. Did you know that? God puts a blanket of snow up on the earth to protect the hard freeze from some of the plants from being destroyed. And God just brought that to my heart this morning. It brings nitrogen to the soil. It brings protection to many plants at times of hard cold. But he said, we look at the snow and we see it as beautiful. And he said it was the same as his righteousness. That it would protect us, it would provide our nutrients, and it's beautiful. Paul spoke of that in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15:46, that the spiritual is not first, but it's the natural, and the natural will teach you about the spiritual things. So we need to look at everything God does in this life. Every detail has some tie to His beauty and His glory that He's put in our lives. And it doesn't take a great oratory speech from somebody to feel God in your life, to have a revelation in your life. Just to hear His voice is enough to just, it crushes me. It just melts me. I don't, just a small thing like that, and He shows me a parallel with it. And it just melts me down. This morning I want to be in Hosea chapter 2. If you'll turn there with me. It's been a busy, busy week. So many things I don't care to get into about all the things I was busy about. But many things were good things. I've had opportunity to share with many people. I've been scattered thin, but still lots of things got accomplished. The lady Lois spoke about in North Carolina, Barbara Durham. She is a really sweet lady, and she's asked me, why don't you move to North Carolina and just come down and teach us? And I said, no, God hasn't released me from my responsibility here. And yeah, I'll send you tapes. And she calls me a couple times a week, and we spend hours on the phone each time. And I will teach her something, and she will go back and be a good Berean. She will study it out and come back and tell me what she saw, you know, and that's a good way to do it. So the lady and her husband are being fed through the tapes that we're sending, and through phone conversations. So the phone company might be doing well, but we're doing better. That's all right. If we can help somebody, what's the cost involved? There's no, that doesn't even come into play. So if you took all the long distance calls that I minister on, it would take our phone bill to nothing probably. But I do a lot of long distance ministering and it doesn't make any difference. Okay? Chapter 2 of Hosea. I can't go back and do the first chapter for the ones who weren't here. Okay? So we have to start off with the second chapter today. And hopefully I can finish this up. There's 23 verses. I will read it for the benefit of the people on tape. Hosea chapter 2, verse 1. Say you unto my brethren, Ami, and to your sisters, Ruamah, plead with your mother, plead for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms and out of her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts. Lest I strip her naked, and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. And I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms. For the mother hath played the harlot. She hath conceived them that hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers that gave me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, my oil and my drink. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall, that she shall not find her paths. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better with me than now. Oh my. For she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil, and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. Therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax given to her to cover her nakedness. And now will I discover the lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of my hand. I will also cause all her myrrh to cease, her feast days, her new moons, her Sabbaths, and her solemn feasts. And I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, whereof she has said, these are my rewards that my lovers have given me. And I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them. And I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them, and she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers and begat me, and forgat me, saith the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her, and I will give her her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope, and she shall sing there in the days of her youth, and as in the days when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be in that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me no more Ishi, and thou shalt call me Ishi, and shall no more call me Bali. For I will take the names of Balaam out of their mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. And in that day will I make a covenant with them, with the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of the heavens, and with the creeping things of the ground. And I will break the bow, and the sword, and the battle out of the earth, and will make them to lie down safely. And I will betroth thee unto me forever, yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. And it shall come to pass in that day, I will hear, saith the Lord, I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth. And the earth shall hear the corn and the wine and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. And I will sow her unto me in the earth. And I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say unto them which were not my people, that thou art my people. And they shall say, thou art my God. Mm-hmm. Oh my. What a powerful, powerful picture of our lives. If we look at this thing and think that this is just about something that happened in antiquity. Something about a history book. Some old thing back there. We're going to miss what God's trying to tell us. Back to the first verse. Say to your brethren, Ami. That name means literally my people. Say to my people and to your sisters, Ruhama. Ruhama means mercy. God's saying, tell your people, I have mercy for them. It's not about condemnation. God is telling us through all of His Word, it's mercy. My mercy endures forever. My grace endures forever. Don't condemn our people. Plead with your mother, because she is not my wife. Neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms, literally her idolatry, her unfaithfulness. Who's he really talking about? He's talking about my soul, the one that birthed my thinking processes. You could take it into the church realm if you wanted to. But he says, put them away. Tell her to put away her things that's not right. And see, the only one that can tell your woman, your mother, the one who birthed you in the soulish realm, the only one that can tell you is the Christ within you. See, I can't tell you anything. If you don't hear the Christ speaking within you, you will never change. You will never put away your idolatries, your unfaithfulness to God. It must come from within you, the Spirit of Christ that He has planted within you. Can't hear it from outside. See, the church is set for 2,000 years hearing an external word. They set for 4,000 years before that hearing an external word. But I want to tell you something. There wasn't a prophet in this book that heard an external word. They heard a word internal. And see, we're no different from those prophets of old. We've got to get this thing in here where it belongs. See, it's about hearing God speak in His people. Doesn't God inhabit His people? Okay, then that's where He's speaking from. He's not speaking from out there somewhere. Maybe He speaks to a person to help you find a line, find an outline for your life, some kind of a trail to follow. But you've got to hear Him in your heart. That's what's wrong with the church. Everybody comes in and sits down like a bunch of little baby birds, and you're supposed to break off a piece of bread and drop it in their mouth and pour some wine in, and hey, oh, I'm good to go for another week. See? That isn't God. God is Spirit, and He's speaking with these people and crying to His ministries that He has set in this earth, don't condemn my people. Don't condemn my people. That's God's heart. Don't condemn my people. He said, put her unfaithfulness and her idolatry away out of what? Out of her sight. What's her sight? This word is panim. It's talking about the face. Get it out of her mind, see? If we can get that out of our mind, guess what we're going to have then? The mind of Christ, the mind of the Father. Then there's no problem. And her adulteries from between her breasts. What does that mean? From between her breasts. What's in there? That's your heart. See, what's in between your breath? It's your heart. So he's saying, if you get it out of your mind and get it out of your heart, guess what? There won't be a problem. The unfaithfulness will be gone. And then he says in the third verse, says, literally, lest I strip her naked and set her or place her permanently as in the day that she was born. He says in Proverbs, forget not all my... or in Psalms, forget not all my benefits. God has a benefit, and God has a placement for His people. And see, we can disqualify ourselves by what we do. I believe that. If I live what God says, I believe I'm going to be where God wants me. And if I don't, I know God's got a place for everybody, but I believe I can write things off in my heart and agree or disagree with God. Don't you agree with that? I can wrestle with God in my ignorance just like Jacob did all night long. See? But when the day starts rising in her heart, now I got accountability. That's when my accountability comes, when that day star rises in my heart, when Christ raises up in me, now I've got accountability. Because I'm no longer walking in darkness, am I? Now I see. And even the New Testament, Jesus said, He told the Pharisees, if you hadn't said, oh, we see, you wouldn't have been guilty. But since you say you see, now you're guilty by your own words. You're snared by the words of your mouth. See, so we've got to understand when God brings this thing up in our heart, see, it's not to condemn us. It's not to embarrass us. But God brings things up in our lives and He may use someone else to do it. Is that true? Mm-hmm. You ever have anybody bring a truth to you didn't like? Okay. See, don't take it as condemnation because God's not condemning you. He's doing it because He loves you. That's the purpose of doing it, because He loves you. And anyway, he says, she was in the day she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. Now, what does that mean? He's going to slay her with thirst. Obviously, in the natural, it means she will die of thirst. It would kill her if she doesn't get any liquids. Does that make sense? But what's he saying spiritually? That's exactly right. See, if I don't get my word, my water, the water of the word, how am I going to live in my spirit? My spirit needs a drink just like my flesh needs a drink of natural water. I need spiritual water. Does that make sense to you? So he said, if this unfaithfulness continues, he said, I'm going to expose her. I'm going to strip her naked. I'm going to expose her. I'm going to set her in a wilderness. And a wilderness is a place of testing, right? And also, he says that he'll slay her with the thirst. Or literally, he'll cut off the word. Okay? In Revelation, it says that the woman, once she gave birth to the son, was immediately, the son was caught up to the throne. But where did the woman go? She went into the wilderness, to a place that God had prepared for her. See? That's her wilderness. That's her place. And when she went there, the sons immediately, the son that was born, the man-child, immediately came from a he became a they, and they took care of her and fed her in the wilderness. See? That's our job, to continue to feed her, even when we become sons. Verse 4, and I will not have mercy upon her children because they be the children of whoredoms or of idolatry. Look right up here. Origin determines destination. If I start something in the flesh, what's it going to end up in? See? That's what's wrong with our church world today. They think of a good idea, but God is not spelled G-O-O-D, is it? God is spelled G-O-D. So if it's going to be a God thing, where's it got to start? Okay? If it's a good thing, then it's not a God thing. It's a good thing. Wrong tree, isn't it? Okay? And that's why I can look at every one of you, and that's why God can look at every one of us and say the same thing. When He finished creating everything at the end of Genesis chapter 1, what did He say? He looked at all of His creation and said, it's very good. It's very good. See? That's why you can see this. You know why you can say it's very good? Because He created it. That's our beginning. We began in Him, not in the flesh. We were made in spirit first. Because their mother has played the harlot, and she has conceived them that has what? When it says done shamefully, literally it says it's dried up. See, if mama hasn't got any water, how's she going to give it to her babies? Is she going to have milk to give them? She has to have the fluid. So I have to have that word in my body to supply my children, don't I? Same as what my soul needs, this water of the word. Because she said, I will go after what? Now notice it said plural. My lovers. Plural. See, we're only supposed to have one man in our life. Who is it? It's the Christ. And if I am faithful to my one man, then I won't be saying my lovers, will I? If she'd have said, I'm going to be faithful to my lover, that would have been a little bit better statement, but she didn't. But she says, I'm going to be faithful to those ones that give me my bread and water. Isn't that her substance, her strength, and her word? Her words is coming from her lovers, aren't they? Notice this. That give me my bread and water, my wool, and my flax. What does that mean? What's a wool? What's the wool used for in Scripture? Covering. And what's flax? Yeah, but what's it used for? Flax is used as a covering for priestly garments. So where's she going to get her stuff at, see? She's going to be righteous and priestly in her own realm. And that's what our soul does to us, doesn't it? See, it goes off and does its own thing, so I can worship God in my way. I can do it in my things. I can do my own righteousness, but it ain't going to work. Isaiah said it another way in Isaiah chapter 4. He said, in that day, seven women will take hold of one man. Only saying, let us eat our own bread, wear our own apparel, to take away our what? Reproach. Our reproach or our shame. See, it's not my righteousness that I'm living by, is it? It's not by my bread that I live. Because the Word says in Deuteronomy 4, I believe it is, says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Right? So I have to realize that it's not what I can come up with in my own mind that seems good. If I want God, it has to be what? God. See, it can't be my own conception. It has to be of God. So that's why we have to be students of the Word, study to show ourselves approved, right? Be good Bereans and search it out. Because if we, just because we conceive it in our mind, doesn't make it right. Doesn't make it God. There's the duality in our mind. We've got to make sure that we're hearing God's voice. And if we hear God's voice, we can go back and check it, and guess what we'll find out? It'll be exactly what God said. Right? Also, he said she wants her oil, doesn't she? She wants her own anointing. Oh, there's a whole bunch of that. Yep. and my drink. See, she wants her own refreshing. You know, a lot of people are caught up in themselves. A lot of the church realm are caught up in themselves. They think, my word or my message or my ministry, you know, whose ministry is it? If there's a ministry that is a viable ministry, there's only one person that can lay claim to this thing. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So how can I lay claim to anything that God has? By right of inheritance, it's mine. But when I put my name in front of it, then I got a problem. See, I'm working for the one who runs the ministry. Okay? We only are servants of the Most High God. Is that right? We don't tell Him what to do. He's not a genie in a bottle. And every time we need Him, okay, God, we got a few people here today. We got to impress them. Let me rub your bottle here, pop you out, and do a few miracles. That is not what it's about. The miracle that God is doing in this earth today is He's changing a perverted, sick mind into the mind of Christ. The greatest miracle in the world. That this mind between our ears can be put into the mind of Christ. There's the miracle. If everybody wants to be deceived, they can follow miracles. I have no problem with miracles. But the book says, Jesus said it, it all said it in Revelation, they'll be deceived by the signs and wonders and miracles. And isn't that what the church is after today? They're just looking for somebody to grow an arm. Well, now you got him a weapon. He can pick up a gun and shoot somebody. If he hadn't given that arm, he maybe not have killed somebody. Come on, it's the truth. They're just looking for something supernatural. But they're still wanting to keep it natural. I'm just looking for the super part of it. And that's God. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way, or your way, okay, with thorns and make a wall, and she shall not find her paths. Well, if you go into Genesis 3, 17 and 19, God did that very thing. He said, Adam, because you've listened to your woman, your soul, guess what? I'm going to make you earn your bread by the sweat of your brow, and I'm going to curse the earth with what? Thorns and briars. Did he hedge it up? Come on, he did. Something he's already done in our lives. So we can't look at something what God's going to do. This was written thousands of years ago. And it was as real in their life then as it is right now. And this is that present progressive aorist tense, I believe, word, where it means that whenever you read it, that's when it is. It's now. Because now is always now. It can't be yesterday, it can't be tomorrow, it's always now. Okay. And make a wall that she shall not find her paths. Well, you know what? That ought to make you happy. Because he said, I'm going to hedge you up where you can't find your path. Now, he didn't say his path, did he? And Jesus said this, strive to enter into the narrow gate. Because everybody's looking at the wide one, aren't they? Most of them go there. He said, but only a few is going to find that narrow one. See, so we've got to find that path, not that big wide funnel that life has to offer us in the soulish realm, but by the Spirit there's something very narrow. Right? Something straight. Okay? And it says, and she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. That ought to make you happy. He said, my soul is going to get unfaithful, she's going to play the harlot, but I'm going to hedge her up, and I'm not going to let her go off and find what she's looking for. Good God, that'll make you happy. It ought to make you happy to know that God's not going to let it happen. He's going to let you know right now that He's already protected you. See? And no matter what goes on in my life, He's already set the protection. Jeez.
You just don't believe it.
That's the fact. And she shall seek them, but she shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will return to my first husband, because then was it better with me than now. Come on, you know what's going to happen here? You know what he's talking about? You're going to go back to your Genesis face that James talked about. See? My beginning face. And I'm going to go back and realize that when God in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, breathed His Spirit into that flesh man, right then was the best time she ever had. Because she had not defiled herself. That was the time. And she's going to say, all this stuff that they had to offer me is no good. Guess what? I'm going back. And see, God's going to make us go there, isn't He? He's going to hedge up the path where we can't get through the briars and the thorns. And guess what? We're going to stay out of them because that's our nature, isn't it? To walk the easy path. God just made it rough on the outside so we can't do nothing but follow the path He set before us. God, is that beautiful. See? He's already set it up for us. How can we lose, Alice? God set it up for us. Oh, my. Beautiful passages. Verse 8, because she did not know that I gave her corn, that's her word, and the wine, that's her revelation, and her oil, the anointing, and she didn't know that I multiplied her silver and gold, her, what? Her redemption and the nature of God within her. Who multiplied it? God did it. Doesn't it say this? Jesus is the author and the finisher of your faith. Then what do I got to do, Lilia? Got to wait on God. You got to believe what God is doing and know that this is what He said in our lives. Man, it's so simple, but they make it so complicated. The lawyers. And see, that's what Jesus spoke about in Luke when He said, woe unto ye lawyers. He wasn't talking about people that go to court before a judge. He was talking about people that handle the law of God and they made it legalistic. Woe unto ye lawyers. You make it difficult. You make a heavy burden for them that you won't even touch with your own fingers. And you won't go in and you hinder the ones that's trying to go in yourself. You hinder them. That's who He's talking about. Come on. Which they prepared for who? Baal. Idolatry. See? God give us everything and what do we use it for? God says, I don't care what you use it for. You're still mine. You're still mine. I don't care what you use it for. I give you what you use to worship them false gods of your mind. What difference does it make? You're mine. God is not going to let any of them get away. The parable of the 99. Oh, we love that. So cute about the little lambs and everything. But see, He wouldn't even let one get away, would He? He says, y'all stay here. I'll be back. He went and got it. I know He isn't going to forget anybody. I don't care what people think about me. They think I'm crazy because I say this, but God's speaking it. I know it's true. My life has been a witness of what He's doing. So I just don't care what anybody else says. Oh. He says, therefore, or in that time, will I return and take away my corn. See? Now, watch this. He said He's going to give it to you, but there's going to be a time when He takes it away from you. Huh? Yeah? I can't hear you.
When she didn't know.
Yeah. When you don't know, when you least expect it, God's going to come back and He's going to take away all them things that you thought you were just getting by so fine. Oh, I'm so blessed. Oh, God has blessed me. And all of a sudden, whew, the big windstorm came, the big flood came, and great was the fall of the house. See? Because she had not built it upon the rock, she had built it upon the sand, the first two covenants. Right? Oh, God's going to, He's good. But see, He's going to snap her back to where she belongs. He said, I'll return and take away my corn, the word, and my wine, the revelation. And I will recover the wool, the righteousness, and the flax, the priestly garments that cover her nakedness. See, that is Christ. That's my righteousness and my covering, right? But you know what? He's already done that. He's going to recover that stuff, see? Now, when we say recover, what do we think about? Sometimes we think we're going to take it back, but when He says recover it, He's bringing it back to Himself. What is the whole purpose of God in this earth today? What's His purpose? It's to reconcile everything back to Himself. See, He's going to recover it. See, we think, well, it all got lost. So-and-so went this way. So-and-so went that way. Well, guess what? All paths lead to God. Some of us might have to take a long course. It might be a bumpy road or a hilly road. It could be through a lot of thorns. It could be a lot of things. But it's going to end up back there. See, God lets us wander off sometimes off the course to teach us things. And we go out there and we bump our nose into a tree somewhere. We go out that way and we hit somebody, you know, do something, and all of a sudden we get our course changed, don't we? It's all for a reason. God knows what He's doing. And He says, look here in verse 10. Did I finish it? No, I didn't. He said, I'll recover my wool and my flax given to her to cover her nakedness or expose her who she is. And now will I discover, literally, I will reveal, is what the word should say. I will reveal her nakedness in the sight of her lovers. See? Her nakedness. He's going to reveal who she really is. Okay? God is going to reveal who she is in front of her lovers. Now, what is her lovers? Idols in her mind. Images in her mind. So, what she is worshiping, see, a chunk of wood, what good would it do to reveal someone in the natural, make strip someone naked and set them before a statue of wood or gold? I mean, what benefit would that be to the person or the piece of gold? Nothing. See, he's talking about spiritual things. He's going to reveal here, see, what she has set up as idols in her mind, and that's talking again about her soul. When that thing is exposed, that all of this stuff is nothing. It's disgraceful. There's nothing to it, okay? So we know that this is all going to take place, right? And then he says in verse 10, and now will I reveal her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and the word and is the word ish. Imagine that. See? Her lovers. Ish, and the word none shall, these three words, and none shall, should be ish. Shall, he shall not deliver her out of my hand. The word ish, what is it? It's man. See, I'm going to reveal her, and ish, humanity, will not remove her out of my hand. God's bride is not a piece of flesh. God's bride is who? It's our soul. The Spirit is God. That's the male side. But the bride of Christ is not really a group of people, a church, or anything like that. His bride is your soul. Is there a man Christ in all of us? Is there a woman in all of us? Well, then who do you think he wants to be married to? See? There isn't some God up there in heaven somewhere external trying to marry some woman down here on earth. Come on, get real. You can't have no relationship like that. We're talking about something inside of our heart. That this Christ that's within us is going to marry His bride, my soul. There's the relationship. Do you understand what I'm saying? We got to get this thing out of the heavenlies up there somewhere, on the stars, behind the moon somewhere, and get it in our heart where it's real. We live now, here. This is where it's taking place. It's an internal work that God's doing in our hearts. Everything He's doing is inside of us. Verse 11, I will also cause all her mirth, literally joy or rejoicing, to cease. See, there's always a time when you have to get solemn about some things and realize there's some testings going on, right? And he said, I will stop all of her feasts, literally her sacrifices and her new moons, it's her monthly sacrifices, and her Sabbaths, her weekly sacrifices, and all of her solemn feasts, literally all of her set feasts, or literally planned feasts. And see, that's what religion does. And I know we meet on regular times, and that's not what we're talking about. But we get in this religious tradition that only certain days of the week is the ones that we worship God on. If you come in here and only worship God on Sunday mornings or Thursday afternoons when we come in here, you're playing a game. I'll be the first one to tell you, you're being a hypocrite. See, if I come in this room and I dress any differently, if I act any differently than I would on the street, I'm a hypocrite. If I come in here and try to say, oh God, you know, get that religious language, get spiritual, all I'm doing is being a hypocrite. God sees me every day of my life, and He sees you too. That's why I say, be who you be. If God has created you, He didn't make a mistake, did He? Be who you be. And you know what? You can have peace in your heart. Because then you won't try to have to remember, well, how did I act with this one last time? Well, I don't know. How did I act when I was over here last time? You'll get so confused that you'll truly be a mess. See? Just be who you be. With the spots, huh? Oh, man, we've got to forget this stuff and just be who we are, whenever we are. If you want to wear a suit, that's fine. If you want to wear one of these, that's fine. If that's your style, that's fine. See? But don't do something different when we come together. Be who you are every day. If you wear blue jeans, that's okay. Sweatpants, that's okay. I don't care. Just be who you are. Don't try to impress people by what you put on your outer body. Just be what you are in your heart. I'm going to get passionate here in a minute. Verse 12, and I will destroy her vines. What's a vine? See, the vine is the supply that supplies the wine, the drink. And her fig trees, that's their food. See, I'm going to take away all this stuff. He said, I'm going to destroy it all. He's talking about taking away the natural stuff. As long as there's natural stuff, I'll grab the natural stuff. Do you understand that? As long as I sit down and fix my table up with the natural stuff and I don't set my table with the spiritual stuff, I'm going to eat the natural stuff and think that's all there is to it. This feast is spiritual. It's not what you lay on the table. It's the table of your heart. What have you put there? See, I'm going to eat what's put there. And too many people put the natural stuff there. It won't help you any. It'll only mess you up. It'll make you learn to trust in yourself and what I can do. I is my enemy. Ego is my enemy. I can't go there. Whereof she has said, these are my what? Literally, my price for harlotry is what the language actually says. So the price that I, the reward I get for being unfaithful to God is all this natural stuff. Hello. Now, I'm not talking about you can't have anything nice. I'm not saying that. I'm talking spiritual things. See, we let the natural get in the way of the spiritual. God doesn't care if you're a millionaire as long as you know the money's all His. It doesn't make any difference. He don't care if you're a pauper. Because, see, a lot of people that's poor still have a lust of money. You don't have to have money to have a lust for it. That's just what you have in your head. And you know what? Most poor people have a lust for money. And the rich people have lust for more money. Oh, my. But she said, these are my rewards or the price for my harlotry that my lovers have given me. And I will make them a forest, he says. See, all those fields and vineyards she had, she was so proud of. All the good things that my soul has created, God said, I'm going to make them a forest. You know what hangs out in the forest? All kinds of wild beasts. And see, when we start creating these things in our life, and start making them the idols in our life, what I have accomplished in my life. I set up a field that is going to be converted to a forest that will have all kinds of foul beasts living in it. Okay? God said so, and I know it's true. All you have to do is watch people that get the eye caught in their throat. Okay? And that's all they can say, and that's what will happen. He said, I'll make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall what? Wow. Beast will devour you. And he said, I will visit upon her the days of Balaam. Let me read you something out of the book of Judges. Judges chapter 10, verse 6 and 7. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam and Ashtaroth and the gods of Syria and the gods of Zidon and the gods of Moab and the gods of the children of Ammon and the gods of the Philistines, and forsook the Lord and served him not. And the anger of the Lord, or the passion of the Lord, was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistines and into the hands of the children of Ammon. See? Philistines means rolling in the dust. That's the dust realm. Wouldn't that make sense? Ammon, pride. I'll put you in the dust and let you be as prideful as you want to be, if that's what you want. I'll give it to you. See, when we go away from God and start worshiping these false idols of our mind, this idolatry, God's going to let us wallow in the dust and get caught up in what? Pride. See? So, how hard is it to figure out who's in the dust? Come on. It ain't hard, is it? We can look and see this. And he said, wherein she burned incense. Literally, she worshipped them. And she decked herself with what? No, her earrings. See, so she wasn't hearing God, was she? She decked herself with God's, not God's earrings, but her earrings. She was listening to herself. See, there's what the soul does. And she decorated herself with what? Her jewels. And she went after her lovers, not God. Right? And forgot me, saith the Lord. Now notice God didn't say, all right, that does it. You've been unfaithful. I'm going to divorce you. I'm going to burn you in hell. He didn't say that, did he? Jeez. Here I come. I'm coming back to get you. Look what he says in 14. Behold, therefore, behold, I will entice or persuade her and bring her into the wilderness. That's that Pentecostal experience, that place of testing. I'm going to bring you out there for this testing to make you purified so now we can have our relationship and I can be married to you. Come on. He didn't say I was going to destroy you. He said, when you run astray, I'm going to come and get you. I'm going to bring you back to me. And I'm going to clean you up. And I'm going to set you as my bride.
Yeah.
God, come on. He hasn't give up on nobody. And then look what he says. And I will speak what? Comfortably to her. Well, you know what the language really says? It doesn't say that. The words literally is this in the Hebrew, al lab. I will write on the board so you see it. And it really means to her. Lab in the Hebrew is H E A R T. Hello. That's what the language says. I'm going to speak to her heart. And see, that's the only thing that will bring you to God. You can play all the games you want to. You can play all the religion you want to. But the only way you're going to come to God is when you let the Christ in you speak to your heart. And when he gets to the heart of the issue, guess what? He's going to take you through that wilderness while he's talking to your heart. And he's going to clean you up and going to set you beside of him as his bride. Spotless. Unblemished. Not guilty. Forgiven. And I will give to her her vineyards from thence. Says, I'm going to give them back to you what you have them back there. I'm going to give you more than that. See, I'm going to return everything back to you. Exactly what it is. Jubilee. And the valley of Achor for a door. Achor means wilderness, trouble, testings. See, that's your way out. You stand there looking. There's the forest back here, the trees, the comfortable place with the little pools of water and the palm trees and all this stuff. And he said, uh-uh, that ain't the door. The door's that way. And you can't see nothing but scorpions and spiders and snakes and all that stuff out across that desert until it goes out of sight. And he said, that's the door. See, where did Jesus go for his testing? He went to the wilderness. Do you think we're going to be any different? And see, what he's going to take there, he's not talking about this flesh. You can't take this flesh there. What he's going to take there is your soul. You know how hard it is for your soul to take to that desert? You are not going to do it unless he allures you by speaking to your heart. And when he does, you're going to follow him. I think Revelation says it this way, Revelation 14, that there was 144,000 that followed the Lamb whithersoever he goes. See? It's not up to us, is it, to figure our own plan out. This is about his plan. What I teach last week about the mind of Christ. Remember? The four things? What were they? First, he knew who he was. That was his identity. Second one, he knew his Father. That was his relationship. Third one, he knew his purpose. That was his destiny. And the fourth one was what? He knew his will from his Father's will. See, he knew which one to follow, didn't he? He wouldn't have said, not my will, but thy will be done if there wasn't two wills in him. There had to be a choice to make, just like for us. He was tested in all ways as we are. Okay? For a door. Look, he said he give you Achor for a door of what? It wasn't just a door escape, but this is hope through that door. Through all these testings, You got to see that. That's just telling you God's not mad at you. God what? Loves you. See, all this stuff going on, well, bless God. I know God loves me. He loves me enough to put me through it. As in the days of her youth. No, I missed it. And she shall sing there, where? In the wilderness. She's going to sing in the wilderness. In the midst of your troubles, you're going to begin to sing. Don't sing when you get across the river. Sing in the midst of the trouble and the trials that come at you crossing the river. Was Deborah the sang that, or who was that? Was she the one that sang that, the song of Moses? Yeah. She sang the song of Moses, but she waited until she got across the river. She waited until she got out of Egypt, and she waited until she crossed the river and got into the promised land, and then she began to sing. That sounds like the church today. Let me get over there, and then I'll sing. And God's saying, no, sing back there in Egypt. Begin to worship me in Egypt, and I'll bring you out of Egypt. That's how you get out of Egypt. You worship him in Egypt, and he'll take you out of there. Come on. Jeez. I'm going to get excited here in a minute. Oh, jeez. In the days of youth when she sang there, as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. What does Egypt represent? Now, huh? In Egypt. See, my mind is still limited. I do not have the mind of Christ yet, do I? See, so I have to do this one thing. I have to come out of there. But I have to do it by beginning to worship God in the midst of Egypt, not once I cross the river into the land of promise. Do you hear me? It's got to start in Egypt, and you'll work your way out of it. When did Paul begin to sing? Was it when he got his head cut off and he got to go to heaven? He sang in the jail when they had him locked up after they had beat him. He took it as an honor to be beaten and whipped and thrown into prison for the gospel's sake, for Christ. See? We want to cry about problems. Come on. We don't know what problems are today. We don't know what problems are in this country. Where are we at? 16. And it shall be at that day, or in that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me what? My husband. See? In that day, when you begin to sing in the land of Egypt, you will begin to say this, he's now my husband. See? Because he is my provider. He will protect me. I don't have to worry about it. I don't care whether I'm in Egypt. Well, wherever I am, where is he? With me. He's in me. See, I don't have to worry about what's going to happen. So I'll begin to say, my husband, I'm married to you. See, then I'll begin to act like a bride. See, because before we're married, you know, that woman, she feels like she's got rights. See, once we get married, now it's my husband's in control. I'm not talking about natural, I'm talking about spiritual. See, now I'm going to listen to my husband because he's the one that's going to take me there and he's going to be my protection. And shall call me no more Bali. You know what that means? My master. See, no longer is God this great big God up in heaven that's looking down at you, threatening to kill you every time you do something wrong. You're not going to look at God that way no more. You're going to look at God and say, he's my husband, and I'm not afraid of him, because he loves me. See, I'm not going to have fear of God. And that's what the church does. They say, oh, the Bible says the beginning of fear is the wisdom of the Lord. That fear is a reverential fear. It's a respect and honor of God. It's not fear and trembling. See, that's what he's telling you here. You will no longer call him master, but you'll call him my husband. Oh, that's a good one. That's good. Because I will take the names of Balaam, and that's the nature, the character, Hebrew word shame. I'll take the nature and the character of these idols and this harlotry out of your mouth. So I won't even speak. Now, to take them out of my mouth, where did he have to go first? He has to go to my heart. And didn't it already say when he said a prayer he was going to speak comfortably or literally speak to her heart? That's when he's going to remove them. And that's when you'll begin to sing in the desert and begin to call him your husband and no longer your master. Oh my. And in that day will I make a covenant for them. Who's making the covenant? See? This is the new covenant. God's doing everything. All we have to do is listen to what He says and obey Him. Does not Scripture say in multiple places, I did not desire sacrifice, but obedience? True? Does not the new covenant say, I will make a covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah? I will write in their hearts, I will place it within them. They will be my sons and daughters. I will be their God, and I will remember their sins no more, saith the Lord. Then what did you have to do with the covenant? He made it. See? He isn't going to let you get away. He hedged you up and protected you, put you right down the course He wanted you in. Oh, God, help us. Help us see the truth. He said, I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field. You know what that word is right there? And the fowls of the heaven, and with the creeping things of the ground. The word ground, you know what it is? Adam. Adama. Adam. The root word's Adam. So he's going to make a fowl with, he's going to make a covenant with the fowls, the beasts of the field, and the fowls of heaven, right? So he's going to make a covenant with all the things, heaven and earth. Fowls in the heaven, creeping things on the earth. He says he's going to make a covenant between them for us, right? And I will break the bow. Here the bow represents strength. And the sword, the wickedness. And the battle, the fightings out of the earth, the wrestlings, the tumults. You know what I'm talking about? He's going to take all the struggle out of your minds, out of the earth. That's you. And will make them to what? Lie down safely. My book says, when Jesus left, says, my peace I give unto you. Come on, here's our covenant. My peace I give unto you. Right? Oh boy. And I will betroth you to me forever. Did that say for 6 months?
No.
6 weeks? 6 days? 6 billion years? Not, it's way longer than that, isn't it? Forever. If you will, turn with me to Isaiah 62, verse 3. I want to show you something. Just back up a little bit where we're at. Isaiah 62. Just got a few more minutes. Give me a little grace here. 62 verse 3, we'll start. Now watch what he says. I'll back up to verse 2. And the Gentiles shall see your righteousness and all kings thy glory, and you shall be called by a new name which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Tell me what it is. It's Christ. And thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, and that's what the world has taught us, had it. We're forsaken, we're cast off, we're rejected. He said, you will no more be termed forsaken, neither shalt thy land any more be termed desolate, but you shall be called Hezbollah, Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delights in you, and thy land shall be married. You know what that says? He said, but you shall be called Hezbollah. I can't remember the word there for that.
My delights in her.
And thy land Beulah means married. See? Because you're married to him. Once you're married to him, it's over. What can they do? God said, you will be married to me. See, it's not man-woman thing. God up there going to come down and marry me. God's already here. And He's married me in here. He's marrying you in there the same way. This natural thing has just messed us up so bad. He said, I will betroth you unto me forever, and I will betroth you unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. Boy, that don't sound like hell at all to me. I mean, he's going to marry me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercy. Still haven't found hell yet, have you? You think I will? I don't think so. Oh, my. I will betroth you, verse 20. Draw thee unto me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. Isn't that the covenant that I just spoke of, the new covenant? And every man, from the least to the greatest, shall know me, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 31:33. Come on. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will what? Hear. That I will hear, saith the Lord. Literally, it means to hear intelligently with the intent to respond to that. See? If you say something to me and you ask me for something, I hear it, don't I? But if I don't have an intent to respond, what good is it? See? And it didn't say it's going to respond positively. It could be positive or negative either way. But at least respond to the question, right? So God says, I hear, saith the Lord, and I will hear what? I will hear intelligently the heavens. What's the heavens? Star covenant. Dust, sand, stars, right? So when we assume it, when we ascend into the heavenly realm, seated in Christ like we are, right? Didn't the book say we're going to be married to Him? Well, it says God's seated in the heavens. What are we then? We're the heavens. He sees. He says, I'm going to hear the heavens. You know why He's going to hear the heavens? Because they have the mind of Christ, which is His mind. And He's going to be saying, they're going to be saying the same thing as their Father says. See? Going to say the same thing. And He said, I'm going to hear, and look what He says. I will hear, says the Lord, and I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the what? They're going to hear the earth. The whole purpose of the stars to be brought forth, the whole purpose for the sons of God, is to hear the rest of humanity so we can go back and pick them up. He said, you're going to hear the earth. The heavens will hear the earth. Come on. Know your destiny? You're going back to get them. All the ones that you thought was lost. All the ones that everybody told you was never going to make it. You're going to go back and get them, and you're going to bring them in. Good Lord. Whew. And the earth shall hear the corn. The earth is the humanity on the earth. It's the dust and sand realm. And they're going to hear what? The corn, the word, the grain, the word, and the wine, the revelation of it. And they're going to hear and see the anointing that God has put in these people, the heavens. And they shall hear intelligently with the intent to respond to who? Jezreel, which is Christ. Christ, His planting is what that really means. His planting. Jezreel means His planting. We were planted. He chose a vessel. He said He chose the choicest vine and planted it in the earth. Isaiah chapter 5. He chose it and planted it in the earth in His vineyard. Oh, Jesus. Verse 23. I will sow her to me in the earth. Hello? Where is God sow? Where did God sow His seed? In the earth of your heart. He sowed it in your soul. And He's going to reap a harvest. I'll guarantee you there's a harvest. And I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. Oh, my God. Where's the condemnation in this? There isn't any. He said, I'm going to have mercy on the ones that have not obtained mercy. And I will say to them that are not my people, you are my people. And they will say, my God. See, all these people that's been told, you're not going to make it just because you didn't go slobber and snot on an altar, or you didn't wear your hair right, or you didn't wear the right clothes, or you've done too many things wrong. They're going to hear the truth. That day is already being birthed. We're hearing people all the time, all over the United States, all over the world, are beginning to hear the truth that God loves people. God's not mad at anybody. God is passionate about His people. He's going to bring His people back. What's this word say all morning? He's going to marry her. He set this whole thing up. Doesn't the book say No one can disannul His Word. Come on. Does it say that? Well, then why should we worry about anything? Why should we have fear and condemnation and low self-esteem? God is in control of this whole thing. Why are we worried? See, sometimes I have to admit, I think about things too much. We all do. Yesterday, I had things in my mind I didn't want in my mind. And I wrestled with them a lot yesterday. I wrestled with them last night. My house could have been flooded last night. I mean, I had all kinds of problems with drains being plugged, these big drains going through here. And it is a concern. It's where we live. It could be destroyed. And I don't want to lose that. But what's most important? See, I'm just being honest with you. I think about things too, but I'm not going to let them take me off my course. And God woke me up about 1:30, hearing that sump pump going, whoop, when it kicked off. And about 5 seconds later, whoop, we're back on again. And it had been doing this since yesterday afternoon all day. I mean, I'm thinking, this pump's been in here 4.5 years. It may not last one more suck, you know, much less all through the night until Monday until I can get anything done. And about 1:30, I wake up, and it's running. And I'm listening, and I hear the pump running. It's like 5 seconds it's off, and it fills up again. It's got to pump again. I mean, it's just streaming in. And guess what? A few minutes later, I hear, that sounds like it's longer than 5 seconds. So I started counting. 1,001, 1,002, and I got to 15. And waited a little while. I said, you know, I don't think I'm hearing things. I think I'm hearing right. It's like 30 seconds. And then a couple minutes, I said, phew, it's abating. The water's going down. And you know what? Within an hour, by 2:30 in the morning, I was back asleep. You know why? Because the water didn't make no difference. I'd already made up my mind, if it floods, the insurance is going to pay for it. I've done everything I can do. I stood on my head in a ditch for an hour and a half in the cold water last night. I got so cold I thought I was going to freeze to death. I mean, I was water running all over me, and I'm in there trying to pull limbs out of the thing. See, I think about things. Don't think that I have any free pass. I think about the same things. See, we all got to realize we all struggle with things. There's no free passes for anybody. But you know what? I went back to sleep, and I woke up refreshed this morning. Pump's been on once or twice. I thought, well, maybe the pump burned up. I didn't even go look. You know, because it quit. So maybe it burned up. And there may be a few inches of water in the basement, and we've got all everything ruined down there. But you know what? I didn't even go look. I haven't even looked yet today. If it is, it is. I've done everything I can do, and my strength cannot fight the forces of nature. I can't do it. But I know one thing. God's going to provide everything I need. So if it washes it out, God, it's been washed out before. We'll just do it again. It'll be all right. So I want to let you know, I go through the same things you go through. I have no free passes. No, I don't have a card that says, don't go to jail. You know, don't go past go. Don't collect $200. I don't have any of them passes. I have the same thing you have. I have Christ in my heart. And all I want to do is let you know that God is not condemning you today. He loves you, and He's already set a way. He's made a way for us. God bless you today. Oh.